appreciate that so much. And they're going to head over to the junior church to speak to the kids over there. But just want to say a word. I'd never listened to that song without wanting to tell the story. It's written by Charles Weigel. His wife came in one day and said, "Charles, if you don't get out of the ministry, if you don't quit on God, we're leaving." He said, "Sorry, I'm not quitting on God." She took the child that he had. They left. And he went, laid down on his, from what I understand, laid out on his living room floor. And those words came to him, and he got to the pen, and he penned it out. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Friend, I tell you today, no matter how hard circumstances may get, no matter how bad things may be, no one will ever care for you like Jesus. Boy, I could preach on that this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 51. We're getting ready for revival. And I tell you today, how many of you need revival? Few of you do? Well, good. I hope all of you realize it before we get out of here. I don't believe anybody, any of us, don't need revival. And I think today we live in such a sad day. And I want to just share one verse of Scripture from Psalm 51, and then we're going to go back and look at it a little bit. This is a psalm that David wrote, and we'll say more about that in a minute. But I want to just start off by kicking it off by reading verse number 12. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity that we have to be here. Lord, I thank you for saving my soul, giving me eternal life. Lord, for the privilege to be able to stand in this place and preach the Word of God. Lord, we thank you today that you're still in the soul-saving business. But Lord, I believe you're still in the heart-stirring business also. And Lord, today, whether we're willing to admit it or not, all of us has needs in our life. And Lord, I believe today that really all of us sitting here today have need of revival, a time of rededication, a time of realization, a time of just rationalization of what you've done and what you're doing for us in our life. And God, today I pray that heaven would come down. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit, anoint my lips, and give me, Lord, the words that you'd have me to speak. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I believe today that the children of God ought to be the happiest people in the world. I thank the Lord today for some people, and I try sometimes, I'm not sure that I always fit the bill, but I always try to be as happy as I can and try to give people the impression that I'm not sad, but that I'm happy, and I'm happy because I have the Lord Jesus in my heart. I had the privilege this week of being at the hospital quite a bit and just getting on the elevator with people, and I found that if you talk to people, people will talk to you, and if you're friendly, they'll be friendly. And it's just a time of sharing. However it happens, and I think back to all of us the day we got saved, I don't believe I know there's never been a greater day in my life than the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm grateful today that I had a mom and dad took me to the house of God where I heard the Word of God, got under conviction, got saved by the grace of God at the early age of 10, and now all these years later, I'm still saved and on my way to heaven. But I can't say today that I've always had the joy in my heart. I remember as a kid, we used to sing the song, "I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And we'd say, "Where?" "Down in my heart." And you know the song. And my, I remember we used to sing it with excitement. We used to sing it with glee. But something happens to us as we go through life. We find today that burdens get us down. We're troubled on every side, even as the Apostle Paul said that he was from time to time. But really the reason a lot of times that we lose our joy is because of a little three-letter word of things that come in our life. And David describes it very well today in Psalm 51. And that little word is sin, S-I-N. Friend, sin will rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your happiness. In fact, it'll rob you of everything if you're not careful, because the devil is out to destroy and take you away. I don't believe today that Psalm 51, if you've been in church any length of time, is any stranger to you. You know what Psalm 51 is about. I guess one of the saddest days in my life was when I discovered what David did in the Word of God, especially later in life, as I began to realize and understand the great sin that David committed. We know that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was doing something that he should not have done, and yet he got in a place he shouldn't be. And yet we find, in order to cover up that sin, he ended up committing murder. And yet we find today that now David has been confronted. Later, David is confronted by a man named Nathan. He gives them an illustration. But anyway, in the illustration, he comes to the point of pointing his finger in the face of David and saying, "Thou art the man." And friend, today, the thing that I want to tell you, it's not that we're glorifying what David did, because it was wrong and it was sin. But the good thing is, we've got a God in heaven that loves us. We got a God in heaven that is willing to forgive us. We've got a God in heaven that's willing to restore the joy of our salvation in our life if we be willing to accept it and receive it as we can. You know, today David thought maybe that he could get by with it. And by the way, young people, you may think you can get by with sin. Somebody said a long time ago, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. It don't take but one drink and getting behind the wheel of a car to destroy your life for the rest of your life. It doesn't take but one little thing that you do that literally could tear your life apart. But I can tell you today, if detrimental circumstances have not occurred to this point, we can understand today that we've got a God in heaven that loves us. And friend, today He cares about us, and He wants us to be happy and enjoy the matter of serving God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. Yet today the devil's out to make you believe a lie. He'll tell you all kind of things. He'll try to trip you up. But I'm grateful today that God's willing to forgive and to forget, literally, because He said He would scatter our sins as far as the east is from the west. The thing that amazes me is David, the psalmist, in Psalm 51. The Bible said, God said of David, "David is a man after my own heart." You say, what? How in the world can you be a man after God's own heart when you've committed adultery and you've committed murder and you've done all these things? The reason you can be a man after God's own heart, in spite of all that we do or the circumstances that brings us low or brings us to the place that we don't need to be, God is willing to forget if we're willing to put our eyes on Him and go in the direction that He'd have us to go, being faithful to Him and serving Him in the days that are ahead. So I want to take this psalm today, and I want to show you some things. I'm not here today, and I don't know what your circumstances are. And I tell you today, I don't know what you need or what you don't need, but I'm preaching for a God that does know what you need today. And I pray that when God deals with our heart, the first thing we've got to do, if we're going to have revival, is we've got to confess our sin and get right with God. I want you to see, first of all, the capacity for sin in the saint of God. Now, I know a lot of people today say, well, you know, you can lose your salvation. Friend, I want you to know Jesus said when I got saved, He gave me eternal life. He said once I got saved that I would never perish. And I believe today with all my heart that getting saved doesn't give us a license to sin. I believe consequences of sin, just like it did in David's life. And by the way, David paid dearly for his sin. God forgave him, but you go back to the Old Testament. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but there's time and time again that God rebuked and chastened David for the sin that he committed in that day. But the reason he was a man after God's own heart is because he knew where to go in his time of trouble. And friend, today I tell you, we don't need to run to the neighbor, and we don't need to run to this one or that one. We need to run to the Lord. He's the only one that's able to help us in our time of need. He's able to give us the strength we need and the help we need. Salvation saves the sinner, but it does not take away his ability to sin. I'm grateful today that God saved me. But I tell you today, there's still an old sin nature. I know the Bible said we become a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, but we're still tempted with the sin of this world. And we got to get our eyes turned toward Jesus and determine that we're going to serve Him and be obedient to Him and confess our sin and do what's right. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Friend, salvation saves the sinner, but it doesn't take away his ability to sin. God give every one of us a free choice. God's give every one of us, we make our own decisions. Friend, this morning, there's nobody, I don't believe, unless it's maybe a child or a young person, I don't believe any of you this morning was made to be here. I surely hope not. Or, well, I hope if you're a child, you are, because my mom and dad always made me, and I'm glad they did. But the fact of it is today, we have a choice. It's what we're going to do. But yet, even sometimes when we're serving God, we have a tendency to be drawn to the world, the things of the world, the sin of the world. And those burdens burden us down. Somebody said, we don't need another revival. You're right. We don't need another revival meeting. We don't need, listen, we're not having the McBrides just to entertain or to have fun or whatever we might do. We're having the McBrides for God to get a hold of our heart and do something in our heart. And friend, today we can walk out of here and not have any change of heart. We can come back next week and we can expect God to do something, but God's not going to do anything until we determine by the grace of God to get the sin out of our life and confess our sin to Him. The second thing I want you to notice is any saint who claims total sinless perfection is in a terrible state of self-deception. The Bible said in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Friend, I tell you today, we need to understand today that all have sinned. All of us are sinners, and there's nobody. I don't care whether you're saved or not. The Bible said, him to know it to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. But sin, thank goodness, cannot take away our salvation, but it does tear us down spiritually and emotionally to the point to where we cannot fellowship with God and have the relationship with him that we ought to have and see God's blessings in our life because we've been burdened down with these sins in our life. The second thing I want you to notice is the consequences of sin for the saint. I tell people quite often, thank God he forgives. But I tell you something else, and I know this will be hard, but thank God he chastens those who does sin. The consequences are there. Now, Psalm 51 is written basically as I described. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and so here he is realizing that he sinned. He realized that he sinned against God. And basically, he begins to cry out in verse number 1. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David was asking for something that could become a reality. David was asking a God who would and will forgive if we confess to him and ask him to guide and direct our lives. The first thing we notice about sin, it soils the saint. Now, when I got saved, I learned early that the Bible teaches, be ye holy, for I am holy. No, I'm not talking about me being holy because I'm holy. He said in the Word of God, be ye holy, for I am holy. Friend, today God saved us not to live a life of sin, but he saved us in order that we might be faithful in serving him as spotlessly as we possibly could. When you sin, it makes you feel dirty. Even though maybe you've not gone out and rolled in the dirt or in the mud, you still just something about it. And by the way, I believe if a person's saved, they'll know they're saved when they sin. Because I believe when they sin, if they're really saved, their conscience is going to be touched and it's going to be opened up and it's going to remind them of what God has done. Look what David said in verse number 2. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Sin may not physically make you dirty, but it'll sure make you feel dirty. And I tell you today, David was crying out and he said, Lord, please make me clean. I tell you today, the non-Christian, by the way, if you're not saved, you won't have no trouble worried about it. You just go right on in your sin. But there's consequences. It soils the saints. The saint will not be able to sin and get by with it. Friend, mark her down. Be sure your sins will find you out. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm simply saying today, sin soils the saint. Sin saturates the mind. Look at verse 3. David said, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Have you ever done something that literally put a scar on your life? You'll live with that for the rest of your life. I think how foolishly I acted in my youth sometimes and some things I did. Not going to get into all that, and I just thank God for His mercy. But I'm grateful today that God protected me many, many times. There's times that I go back in my mind and I think about my foolishness could have hurt somebody else or even killed somebody else. And yet I'm reminded that the God in His grace and His mercy has forgiven me. But that sin is ever before me. As I think about it many times, David's sin was always on his mind. Any unbeliever that sins, listen, he'll never escape it. You'll never get away from it. Today, the Holy Ghost in our heart will not let us forget it. Guilt festers and infests the whole life. Well, until it's dealt with, yes, I know God forgives, and I know we need to move on, and I know we need to trust God that He forgives. But friend, there's something about sin. It saturates our mind, and if we do get it right, it'll be much better. But if we don't get it right, we'll be continually reminded of the sin in our life. Thirdly, we find sin stings the conscience. Look at verse 4. He said, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." David hurt a lot of people, but ultimately his greatest sin was sinning against God. Friend, sin will tear homes apart. Sin will destroy your children. And by the way, parents, they watch you very, very closely. And I tell you, if you're not the same at home as you are at church, believe me, they notice. And I want you to know that many times people sin. It takes other people down with them. But friend, the greatest of all is to understand today that the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sin in His body, that we may be forgiven of our sin. And being forgiven of our sin, we may trust Him and serve Him and be faithful to Him. But oh, how He must be brokenhearted. We falter and we fail in serving God. I was going over the records of our church the other day, and I don't remember. We've got a bunch of members. I tell you, in fact, if we had all the members here today, three or four of these probably wouldn't fill everybody. We probably couldn't even get them all in. Now, some of them, granted, have moved on. Some of them are passed on, and there's various things that have happened. But I'm going to tell you, there's people constantly that are allowing things to come into their life. And listen, you could still be in church. You could still be listening to the preaching, but something is not right in your heart and in your life. And I'm going to tell you, if that be the case, you need to get it settled if you want revival. If you want God to do something, if you want Him to help you. When we sin, we're attacking the Father's right to be God in our lives, understanding that He is in control and He'll lead and guide us in the way that He'd have us to go. Look at verse 8. Sin saddens our heart. David obviously was so down and so low. And by the way, we can get there. He said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." David had lost his joy, and he wants it back. I tell you today, I love coming to church. I love the fellowship of God's people. I'm so thankful that God gave me the privilege to pastor. And I believe today that He's given me one of the best churches you can find anywhere to pastor. But I tell you today, sometimes it's really a refreshment to me to be able to come back on Sunday or come back on Wednesday, and maybe some have had a rough week, or maybe going through some difficulty, and maybe battling something in my own life. But yet it's so good to experience God's joy and happiness once again. Sin saddens the heart. Look at verse 12, and we read that a while ago. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Friend, I tell you today, more than anything in all the world, I want the joy of the salvation of the Lord to be evident in my heart and life. I tell you, I think my preacher years ago said you need to have a spring in your step and a smile on your face. And the older you get, it's a little harder to have that spring in your step. But you can still have that smile on your face and rejoice in what God has done. Sin saddens your heart. How many times did you get word somebody committed sin, you committed sin, and I'm going to tell you, it makes you sad. Have you ever said, "I wish I'd have never done that"? Oh, I've only said that a few thousand times probably in my lifetime. Wish I wouldn't have done that. Wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have looked that way. I just wish I hadn't have done it. But thank you, Lord, that I can call upon your name and you'll forgive me. And I'm grateful today that no matter, listen, again, I'm not promoting, I'm not saying sin is right, sin is not right. It's very costly. But I am saying to you today, we're all sinners. We all fail. Even after we get saved, we make mistakes. We do things that we should not do. And we find ourselves in a sad state. But I tell you, I'm not happy when I'm sad. You're not happy when you're sad. But we're happy when we have the joy and the Spirit of God working in us, thinking about what He's done. Sin also sickens the body. Go back to verse 8. He said in the latter part, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David's sin had taken a physical toll on him. Other day I saw somebody, and I guess it was a compliment to me, I hope, and it was somebody, and I don't know, we got to talking, and he was talking about, but and I appreciate it. He said, well, I remember you a long time. You still look the same you did. Now, he hadn't been around. I've noticed some changes myself, but he said, But he said this, and he looked a lot older than he was. And he said this. He said, but you've hung around with good people all your life, and it made a difference. What was he saying? If you run with the crowd that drinks and carouses and does drugs and gets in trouble and sins and does this, you're going to age fast. You're going to age. You're going to get older. I know people that I've seen, they've lived a life of sin, and listen, they've lived a life of sin, and they'll tell you, they say, man, I've lived a hard life. Doesn't the Bible say the way of the transgressor is hard? Yes. And I tell you, we haven't been to the fountain of youth, but God will help restore our bodies because we serve Him, and faithful to Him, He looks out for us and meets our need. Sin sickens the body. In fact, some sin that we have causes a lot of sin, or causes a lot of physical problems because of what we do. But then, look at verse 10. Sin sours the spirit. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew that he had a wrong spirit. Sin does that to the saint. The backslider becomes cantankerous. They become critical. They become sour. They become judgmental. The saint in sin is impossible to satisfy. My wife tells me sometime when I'm a little sick that I'm a little ill. I don't understand that. Well, really, I do. And I probably am. But that's the same way. And I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest with you. And I'm just joking about that because I do. I know I do. But I tell you, I can have something bothering me. And I don't have the right attitude about it. And sometimes I'm cantankerous to her then, too. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just simply saying, friend, sin will sour your spirit. And oh, today, God help us to have a spirit that's a good spirit, a spirit that's a happy spirit, a spirit that's glad to be saved and born again and have our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, serving Him and being obedient to Him. Then verse 13 through 15, sin seals the lips. Here's what he said. He said, Lord, in verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and make my mouth, that my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Sin seals the lips. It'll take away your shout. When you're living in sin, you ain't gonna have nothing good to say about God. But when you get right with God, you'll want to talk about Him all the time. You see, you can shout, but you can't sing. You have no joy. You can't testify. All the while, Satan, as you're trying to do what's right, or maybe you're living in sin, the devil's pointing at you and he's laughing at you and he's mocking you. But yet, when you get it right, David said then, Lord, when I get my joy back, Friend, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm telling you today, we are literally no value to God with a sour spirit and a wrong attitude and being in a position to where we don't have God's joy in our life. Why in the world does people in the world want what we got if we act like we've just lost our best friend? We need to rejoice in what God has done. Then thirdly, the comeback from sin for the saint. Friend, you may sin today. And again, I don't know what your sin might be, but I would venture to say probably that nobody in this building has committed the sins that David committed that we just talked about. That's a good thing. But I want to remind you today that no matter what your sin is, you can continue down the path and let it take the effects that we've looked at in this verse, or you can confess it, get right with God, and determine to serve Him and be obedient to Him. The first thing I want you to understand is have confidence that God still loves you. I don't care how far you go, how deep your sin may be, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, sometimes we look at it, but listen, I want to remind you, you're a child of God. And I tell you, no matter how far you may slide back and how far you may get away from God, now listen, it's wrong and you need to get it right. But the truth of it is today, have confidence. I heard somebody tell me one time, they said, after what I did, God can't love me. I said, God can love you, and God does love you. And all He wants you to do is confess your sin and get right. And that's the second thing, confess your sins to God. David confessed his sins to God. God's not looking for excuses. He's not looking for alibis. He's not looking for reasons. Most time people get caught in sin, they immediately either want to blame it on somebody else or they want to come up with a reason as why they've done it. Friend, forget all that. You've done it. Just get right with God. Confess your sins. Allow God to take control of your life. And then look at verse 7. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David requested cleansing. When we allow God to cleanse us, great things will take place. Man, I tell you today, I know when a person's baptized, it's not the water, but it's the blood that washes their sin away. We understand that. But I love the song we used to sing when we baptized, and sometimes we still do. Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away, not by the baptism waters, but the blood of Jesus Christ. Friend, today, if you could go with us to the YDC and talk to some of those young men, they've made some bad choices. Their lives are scarred for the rest of their lives. But thank God we still have a message. God still loves you. If you're not saved, you can be saved. And if you are saved, you can get forgiveness of your sin. And God still is ready to restore the joy and give you back the fellowship with Him that He so freely gives. Do you want what God has for you? I'm amazed when I read the population of our penitentiaries, the number of people. In fact, sometimes they're letting people out because they're so overcrowded. I don't know about you, but I enjoy my freedom. And I'm grateful today to be a child of God on my way to heaven. But oh, today we need to understand that God can restore the joy of our salvation. And here's the whole reason for the message. We've got 1 week till we start a meeting with Brother Brian McBride. Knowing Brother Brian and knowing the messages he's preached in the past, those messages can change your life if you're prepared to receive it and accept it and to do what God would have you to do. And friend, today I'm asking you this. If there's sin that's hanging over your head, if you're going through a time in your life where you've lost the joy, I say today God stands ready to restore it. And I tell you the reason David became the man after God's own heart is because he did not continue in his sin, but he realized the need of a Savior. He realized the need of forgiveness. And he came pleading, not making excuses, but saying, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Where are you today? Are you drowning in the sea of sin? Are you being tempted? I tell you today, when I went to high school, we did some bad things. But I tell you, our bad was nothing compared to what our young people today are being faced with in our school system every day. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. That's a good thing you can pray for, is pray for our young people every day when they go to school. Because I'm telling you, the pressures of the world, the peer pressure, the devil pressure, and everything else. But thank God for young people that'll take a stand for God. Yesterday morning we went for breakfast, and as we were going in, I saw a youth pastor in another church, and he had a young man. I know the young man. He's a good young man. And they were coming out of Whataburger, and they had a notebook, and they had a Bible. I knew what they'd been doing. This man was